Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Valabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Valabha Girivara Dhari. Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Jamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Astutarashata Shishimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Ashtotarashata Shishimad His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Iskon Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Garantarashman Bhagavatam Ki Tai Gaura Premanandi O glories to the assembled devotees O glories to the assembled devotees O glories to the assembled devotees O glory to Shishi Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, entitled The Science of God, Chapter 15, entitled Instruction for Civilized Human Beings, Text 32 to 33.
Pranapanausinirumdhyat Purakumbhakarechakai Javanmanastyajet kamam Svanasagra nirikshana Pranapanausinirumdhyat Pranapanausanirumdhyat Purakumbhakarechakai Javanmanastyajet kamam Svanasagra nirikshanaha Pranapanausanirumdhyat Pura kumbha kache re chakai. Javan manas tyajet kamam. Swana sagra nirikshanaha.
Please chant.
Pranapanao sanirum dhyat. Pura kumbha kare chakai. Javan manas tyajet kamam. Swana sagra nirikshanaha. Pranapanao sanirum dhyat. Pura kumbha kare chakai. Javan manas tyajet kamam. Swana sagra nirikshanaha.
I read the Sanskrit of 33.
Jato jato nisharati manakama hatam brahmat tatastatta uparitya hridirundyat chanair buddha prana.
Incoming breath.
Apanao.
Outgoing breath.
Sanirundyat.
Just stop.
Pura kumbha kare chakai.
By inhaling, exhaling, and holding, which are technically known as puraka, kumbhaka, and rechaka.
Yavat,
so long,
manaha,
the mind,
tyajet,
should give up,
kaman,
all material desires,
swa,
one's own,
nasa agra,
the tip of the nose,
nirikshanaha,
looking at,
yataha,
from whatever and wherever,
nisharati,
withdraw,
manaha,
the mind,
kamahatam,
being defeated by lusty desires,
brahmat,
wandering,
tata,
from here and there,
upahritya,
after bringing it back,
hridi,
within the core of the heart,
rundhyat,
should arrest the mind,
sanai,
gradually by practice,
buddha,
a learned yogi, translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
While continuously staring at the tip of the nose, a learned yogi practiced the breathing exercises through the technical means known as puraka, kumbhaka, and rechaka, controlling inhalation and exhalation and then stopping them both. In this way, the yogi restricts his mind from material attachments and give up all mental desires. As soon as the mind, being defeated by lusty desires, drifts towards feelings of sense gratification, the yogi should immediately bring it back and arrest it within the cord of his heart.
Purport.
The practice of yoga is concisely explained. The practice of yoga is concisely explained herein. When this practice of yoga is perfect, one sees the super soul, the Paramatma feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of one's heart. However, in Bhagavad Gita 6:47, the Supreme Lord says, Yoginan api sarveshan madgatena taratmana sradabam bhajate yoman same yukta tamo mataha. Quote, of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. End of quote. A devotee can immediately become a perfect yogi because he practices keeping Krishna constantly within the core of his heart. This is another way to practice yoga easily. The Lord says, Mammana babamat bhakto majjaji man namaskuru. Quote, always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Bhagavad Gita 18:65. If one practices devotional service by always keeping Krishna within the core of his heart, Mammana, he immediately becomes a first-class yogi. Furthermore, keeping Krishna within the mind is not a difficult task for the devotee. For an ordinary man, in the bodily concept of life, the practice of yoga may be helpful, but one who immediately takes to devotional service can immediately become a perfect yogi without difficulty. Translation, While continuously staring at the tip of the nose, a learned yogi practices the breathing exercise through the technical means known as Puraka, Kumbhaka, and Rechaka, controlling inhalation and exhalation and then stopping them both. In this way, the yogi restricts his mind from material attachments and gives up all mental desires. As soon as the mind, being defeated by lusty desires, drifts towards feelings of sense gratification, the yogi should immediately bring it back and arrest it within the core of his heart. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyabadi Pashatyade Satarine Vancha Kalpa Taruvyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So, His Great Grace Gokulananda Prabhu asked me to give the class today, so he has to be excused because of some thing that he has to do. I find it very interesting, although, you know, I have to admit that I don't have a very deep understanding of the subject matter. In one sense, it's because it's not something that we practice. You know, Prabhupada makes very clear in the purport that this method of self-realization that is given to us by Srila Prabhupada and the disciplic succession coming from Krishna and Lord Chaitanya is a very simple process, and also very suitable for the people of Kali Yuga. And Prabhupada just basically, he repeated the conclusion that Krishna gives in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in which, you know, this process of yoga is also described in quite detail. We, you know, hear about it in the last two classes, that this process of yoga in previous ages was a very common, was a standard process for self-realization. It was called Astanga Yoga. So meaning that Astanga means eightfold process of yoga. So you have eight different levels that you have to one by one achieve. And the conclusion of this path of yoga is complete, is full realization of your connection with the personality of Godhead. Prabhupada, then Krishna concludes that chapter, chapter 6, by saying the position, although, you know, he explains that who is the highest of all the yogis. In other words, we can understand that there's different practices of yoga, and that there is this traditional practice of yoga that is called the Astanga Yoga, and but there is other methodologies of yoga, like practiced by jnanis, jnana yoga, the cultivation of knowledge, but of all the different practices of yoga, the devotee is the highest. And specifically is because the purpose of yoga is to connect and unify with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna says that the devotee is the one who is most intimately united with me. That's why he is the highest. Why is that the case? Because the devotee, Krishna explains in that verse, Sardavan Bhajate Yoman, that he always abides in me with great faith and worship me in transcendental loving service. So naturally, Prabhupada explains, and also Krishna explains, that, you know, the devotee always has Krishna in his heart. So so that is what the principle of being connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the highest manifestation is through the process of devotional service of bhakti. And Prabhupada concludes, you know, the purport with this phrase that it was, you know, it's very clearly explained. For an ordinary man, in the bodily concept of life, the practice of yoga may be helpful. But one who immediately takes to devotional service can immediately become a perfect yogi without difficulty. So, the process of Astanga Yoga, the process of yoga, is not easy. It's very difficult. And, you know, we hear yesterday, Nityananda Prana Prabhu was explaining about it. It's not a simple thing. It's very difficult. And but for the devotee who takes devotional service under the guidance of a devotee, the process becomes simple. There is no great deal of difficulty. And in fact, even now, in Kali Yuga, it's become even much more simpler by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, because the main practice of devotional service that is given to us is the regulations are, there are not so many regulations. Specifically, the chanting of the holy names. For the chanting of the holy names, there's no rules and regulations that apply in terms of, you know, place and time. You can chant the holy name at any time. You know, niyamit, what is it? Namnam akari baduda nija sharva shaktis tatarpita nijamita smarenena kalom. Nijamita, there's no rules and regulations for chanting the holy name. So it becomes much more simpler. So I thought to analyze a little bit, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, some explanation about this process of Ashtanga Yoga that is being presented here, so we can have a little better understanding of the principles behind, and specifically on this controlling of the airs, and which is one of the limbs of the Ashtanga Yoga process, and also controlling of the senses and everything. So we can break it down as, you know, is presented in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. One of the things, and also I was just going to say that the principle behind, the goal is the same. It's just a path of self-realization that is there, that was the traditional path in previous ages. And we see that, you know, the principles remains the same in terms of what we do in the process of bhakti. And the methodology is different, but the principles are the same and the goal is the same too. So, with the Ashtanga Yoga, is the eightfold process of yoga. And then, so there is eight different limbs of this Ashtanga Yoga. The first two is Yama and Niyama. And basically is the regulations, the do's and the don'ts. So the ethical and moral codes of conduct, you know, is the things that you're supposed to do, yama. And niyama is the things that you're not supposed to do. So this is a principle that we also learn in devotional service, in bhakti yoga. In the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami explains in more detail, you know, this yama and niyama. So first you start with that. Those are the two first limbs that specifically it is explained that one is practice celibacy. And there's, well, the rules and regulations. From that, the next limb is called asana. So it's a sitting posture. So we hear that the recommendation is that the yogi have to find a sacred place and set up a seat that is not, you know, that is elevated. And then, you know, what do you put in the seat? You know, there's some instructions to that, kusha grass, and then you put deer skin, and then you sit. And there's a way, you know, there's a whole instructions of how to sit. You know, we heard yesterday about him. So the asana, there's a body, the body posture, the seat, and then being very peaceful. There's harmony with the body. And from asana, the next limb is the pranayama. The pranayama is the breath control. So then is controlling the airs within the body. And basically that is to have control on the life energy, or the life airs, that is called like that. And once that is controlled, so then we have, this is what verse, what today's verse deals with, you know, there's a way, there's a mechanical way of doing all these things. The yogi have to concentrate on the tip of the nose and then start to control these airs by exhaling, inhaling and exhaling. And it is explained that there is the 10 different types of airs. We can, you know, go through that. But pranayama means the controlling of the airs like that. And then it comes pratyahara. That the pratyahara is that once you have control on the airs, and so there's harmony with that life energy, then you withdraw the senses. That's what pratyahara means. The yogi withdraw the senses, which is also explained in this verse today, that it is explained, it's like the tortoise. So the yogi, if he finds himself, today verse says that if he finds himself that the mind goes towards the objects of the sense gratification, then he arrests the senses, basically. The example of the tortoise is that you withdraw the senses from the sense object. So so that's called pratyahara. So in pratyahara is explained that you come to harmony with your emotions or your feelings. So that the withdrawal of the senses. Once that is in place, then comes the next stage, which is dharana. Actually, these two are very much together, dharana and dhyana, the two next stages, which is 6 and 7. Dharana means concentration. You start to focus your thoughts. And dhyana means the meditation on the super soul. So dharana, you concentrate your thoughts and control your thoughts, the thoughts of your mind. You start to absorb yourself in thoughts of the absolute truth. And then dhyana, you start to meditate on the super soul. And the last stage is samadhi, which is ecstasy. And in samadhi, you have the goal of yoga. It's basically you come in contact with the personality of Godhead within the heart. And that's the stage of transcendence. So this was the practice. So it was a methodology, a path of transcendence that, you know, most of it is very mechanical in terms of, you know, you have to deal with the bodily control and the air control. And then through focusing the mind, then you come to realize Krishna within the heart, the super soul. Here's some of the things that it says in terms, this is in the Bhagavad Gita, in terms of what the yogi will do in this situation. One of the things that is that was very pivotal in terms of being able to come to the last, to the higher stages of Ashtanga Yoga, is that you have to have full control on your body and on your ears and your mind. And that part, it's quite mechanical. But you have to come to that in order to be able to enter into dhyana, yoga, the meditation part in the super soul. Before that, you cannot do it. So so here's some of the things that appears in the Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 4, text 27, Krishna says, others who are interested in achieving self-realization through control of the mind and senses offer the functions of all the senses and of the life breath as oblation into the fire of the control mind. So, you come to the point of controlling your mind, controlling your senses, and controlling the airs of the body. And at that moment is that you're able to practice the actual connection with the super soul, or meditate. Here's another one. Chapter 8, text number 10. One who, at the time of death, fixes life air between the eyebrows and, by the strength of yoga, with an undeviated mind, engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord in full devotion, will certainly obtain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this part is also explained the methodology of leaving the body for the yogi in Krishna consciousness. But through the control of the air, you're supposed to, Prabhupada explained, this is called, the methodology is called Chakra Yoga, which basically you use the life air, the controlling to bring, you bring that air to here, to the, in between the two eyebrows, and then with full meditation in the absolute truth, the yogi lives, the soul lives through, you know, this part of the head. It's the top chakra that is there. And then he is also in the same chapter, chapter 8, text number 12. The yogi situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagements, closing all the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head, one establishes himself in yoga. So we see the famous painting that has the yogi guy like this, very skinny, and then poof, bursting out of his head, you know, the soul leaving the body. So that was the process, not a very simple thing. And I was going to read you also. Prabhupada's purport that explains everything so nicely.
Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text Number 19, purport. The expert yogi who has thoroughly practiced the control of the life air by the prescribed method of yoga, of the yoga system, is advised to quit the body as follows. He should plug the evacuating hole with the heel of the foot and then progressively move the live air on and onto the six places: the navel, the abdomen, the heart, chest, palate, eyebrow, and cerebral pit. Controlling the live air by the prescribed yogic process is mechanical, and the practice is more or less a physical endeavor for spiritual perfection. In olden days, such practice was very common for the transcendentalists, for the mode of life and character in those days were favorable. But in modern days, when the influence of the Kali age is so disturbing, practically everyone is untrained in this art of bodily exercise. Concentration of the mind is more easily obtained in these days by the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. The results are more effective than those derived from the inner exercise of life air. Here's another one. I find, like I said, that I'm not so familiar with the things, but you know, Prabhupada's purports are fantastic, and so I accumulate a few of them too. Here's another one. By the strength of scientific knowledge, one should be well situated in the absolute realization and thus be able to extinguish all material desires. One should then give up the material body by blocking the air hole through which the stool is evacuated with the heel of one's foot, and by lifting the life air from one place to another in the six primary places of same thing. Anyway, one thing that I remember hearing is that for the yogi, basically, again, the whole goal is to try to understand the absolute truth, you know, God from within the heart. And in this material world, the personality of Godhead is manifested is represented in 3, 10, and 1. Or the way to connect to that to the absolute truth in this material world for the yogi is first represented in 3, then in 10, and then in 1. And these are, you have to, same thing in terms of this Ashtanga yoga. The 3 is the body, the body, the mind, and the senses. So the body, the mind, and the senses, those are 3. The 10 are then the control, the 10 airs. And the 1 is the super soul one within the heart. So here's Prabhupada's purport on this verse. There's a lot of explanation of these things in the third canto. So here's from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:6, text number 9. I read the translation of the verse and also part of the purport, and very wonderful information here. Translation: the gigantic universal form
is represented by 3, 10, and 1 in the sense that he is the body and the mind and the senses. He is the dynamic force for all movements by 10 kinds of life energy. And he is the one heart where life energy is generated. Prabhupada's purport. The movements of the body are first generated from the heart. And all the activities of the body are made possible by the senses, power by the 10 kinds of airs within the body. The 10 kinds of airs are described as follows. The main air passing through the nose in breathing is called prana. The air which passes through the rectum as evacuated bodily air is called apana. The air which adjusts the fustos within the stomach and which sometimes sounds as belching is called samana. The air which passes through the throat and the stoppage of which constitutes suffocation is called udana, air. And the total air which circulates through the entire body is called vyana, air. Subtler than these 5 airs, there are others also. That which facilitates the opening of the eyes, mouth, etc. is called naga air. The air which increases appetite is called kritkara air. The air which helps concentration is called kurma air. The air which helps relaxation by opening the mouth wide in yawning is called Devadatta air, and the air which helps subsistence is called Dhananjaya air. All these airs are generated from the center of the heart, which is one only. The central energy is superior energy of the Lord, who is seated within the heart with the soul of the body, who acts under the guidance of the Lord. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 15:15 as follows: Sarvase chahan hridisani visto matas mritigyanam apohanam cha vedas cha sarvar aham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda bit eva chaham. The complete certain force is generated from the heart by the Lord, who is seated there and who helps the conditioned soul in remembering and forgetting. The conditioned state is due to the soul's forgetfulness of his relationship of subordination to the Lord. One who wants to continue to forget the Lord is helped by the Lord to forget him birth after birth, but one who remember him by dint of association with a devotee of the Lord is helped to remember him more and more. Thus, the conditioned souls can ultimately go back home, back to Godhead. So, the mechanical method of controlling body, mind, senses, and the airs, and at the end, focusing one's consciousness in the relationship with the super soul is this methodology. However, because it's mechanical, then we see so many examples of personalities going to this methodology and having a complete different destination or purpose. It's almost that you have the capacity of building something, but depending of what your desire is, you know, it will be a complete different thing. Like example, we hear, you know, the example of Hiranyakashipu, who practiced this methodology, and to the point that he was able to disconnect so much from the body and have such control that his body was eaten completely by ants. So his body was completely gone, but he had such control of the airs, life airs, that he was still maintaining life within the bones, even though he, you know, the ants just completely chew and eat, ate his whole body, everything. He was just bones, but he was maintaining the life force, that control. But his purpose was that he wanted immortality. He wanted to be God. And so he just used the mechanical process just to obtain his desire, which was, you know, an illusion at the end. And we see the situations of so many other yogis that they not necessarily went successful with their attempts on practicing control and meditation. Shalvara Muni, who was, you know, have such control of the airs that he was able to meditate underwater. His body, the body, you know, the control of the body, mind, senses, and the airs that he was able to control the but he couldn't fully concentrate. He failed in the power of concentrating and meditation because he was distracted by some fishes that was having, you know, some copulation. And we have the example of Dhruva Maharaj, that although his motivation for performing these practices was to obtain a kingdom greater than his father and his grand-grandfather, however, because he had connection with a devotee, the devotee was able, Srila Narada Muni gave him the means by which he could actually achieve the actual goal of this practice of, you know, this process of yoga, which was to have connection with the super soul. So Dhruva Maharaj received a mantra, the Om Narayana, Om Narayana Namaha, from Narada Muni, and was asked to chant and meditate on this mantra. And by doing that, he achieved self-realization. He had darshan with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all his material desires were eliminated. And similarly, with Lord Brahma received the Govinda Gayatri mantra, and he performed this same type of austerities and yoga, and he was able to achieve, you know, a complete understanding of the personality of Godhead, and even have full darshan of Krishna's Goloka Vrindavan. So the understanding is this, that even this practice of yoga, without being directed by a devotee, will not bear the fruits. It will be just a mechanical process that won't show anything at the end. It will be basically what is explained before, we heard before, just a waste of time and energy. It won't give self-realization. It won't give something else. So the yogis that that practice, they may achieve, you know, great powers just by that control of the body, you know, and the material elements of the body. But transcendental realization won't be achieved only when it's being directed by a devotee. And so the principle remains the same. In our case, we practice in bhakti yoga, and in bhakti yoga, we're also require to follow rules and regulations. We also require to control the mind and control the senses. And with that, then we focus in our energy in serving Krishna under the direction of the devotee. So, and the goal is self-realization, but we are practicing what is called the Raja Yoga, the king of all yogas, which is devotional service. So anyway, something that I can put together. Any comment or questions? Okay. Sharjan, I'm thinking. You alright? Oh.
Maybe one question that comes to mind. You had stated that the whole process of Ashtanga Yoga is doesn't give self-realization. And yet those particular persons practicing that mechanical process, it is with the purpose of realization of, or at least realization of the super soul. So there is realization in one sense.
No, there is it's a transcendental process that is meant to give, yeah, it was a process for self-realization, the standard in previous time, previous ages. Yeah, so no, it gives realization. But it has to be directed by, still, same principle, by a devotee. If it's not directed under the direction of a devotee, then, you know, it's not going to bear the fruit.
So the question then would be, the necessity for that process to assist in Bhakti Yoga, how necessary would it be for
the Ashtanga Yoga? The Ashtanga Yoga process. Prabhupada said that it's difficult and it's not necessary, because at the end I read, you know, that purport that Prabhupada said, the whole atmosphere is not conducive. Before it was fully supported, the whole culture, atmosphere, everything. Now it's not. So therefore, the recommended process is the process of devotional service, specifically of chanting the holy name, Harinam Sankirtan. So, if someone does practice those things, is with no doubt, you know, I mean, if someone has that facility or that it comes with that, it definitely should help. Because at the end, you know, the body itself is a source of distractions, and there's different, you know, just by having a body is a is a big obstacle for self-realization. So these things help having more harmony, or achieving better harmony with the body. And that facilitates meditation, with no doubt. But it's something that is there, is great, but it's not, you can achieve the same result just by following strictly the order of the spiritual master in doing your, you know, the activities of devotional service. You still achieve the balance and control. Maybe, you know, you won't have such a strong harmonic body, but at the end, you know, the devotee who may not have that is not also connected with the body. At the end, you disconnect from the body. That harmony of the body, you know, and the airs just set the stage for you to be able to focus your mind on Krishna. So, but through the chanting of the holy names, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole process of that is being given to us is to go to that stage, to always think of Krishna, man manaba manat bhakto, you know, that always think of me, always worship in that stage. So that's the beauty of it. It's the highest thing. We're given the opportunity to go to that higher stages, even without all the, you know, all those requisites that were before necessary for. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.